My name is Andy, and this is the most magical podcast on earth. When I'm not on holiday at Walt Disney World, I'm planning a holiday to Disney. And when I'm not planning a holiday to Disney, I'm talking about Disney with other UK fans like me who make the trip to Orlando and the House of the Mouse. So whether you're a parks professional or a Florida first-timer, this is the podcast for you. Each episode, I'll be chatting to other Disney superfans to share memories of their magical times, answering your Walt Disney World questions, getting you all the latest news from the parks, and finding out what's happening right now in Orlando. So get your ears on as we take you to the most magical place on earth. This is the most magical podcast on earth, with an interesting dilemma to start the podcast from Paul. Is an interesting one. So they're going to Disney World in a few weeks' time, and they've got the dessert party for Happily Ever After. They're doing the post-dessert, the one that I always say is the best one because you watch the fireworks and then you've got the dessert. So, you know, you can go to the private area, but you can get there nice and early and relax, maybe sit down, get a good picture of the fireworks, then watch the fireworks, and then you've got the rest of the evening to enjoy desserts and a little bit of booze at your own time. But the question that Paul wants to know is, what about the nighttime parade, the Starlight Parade? Because I think usually the fireworks are on at 10 and then the parade will be 9 and 11. So when will be best to watch it? They've done the dessert party before post, but what they always do, they'll get there nice and early to get a good spot, which, you know, is a good thing. But what if we wanted to watch the parade first? Could we still get a good spot? Now, the last time I did the dessert party, I did the post, and it wasn't too busy, actually. I think we rocked up, we got our wristbands, because you can pick up your wristbands earlier and then you can come back. I think we were only there about 20 minutes before it started, because that's the whole thing about the dessert party. You know, you don't want to stand somewhere for like an hour just to be able to see the fireworks, so then somebody to put a kid on your shoulder. But I think if you wanted to see the parade, I think you can pick up your wristband, then maybe watch the parade when it starts at 9. If you can watch it from the start and then beat it round, you can probably still be in the hub by around 9:30. So you can still get there nice and early for a pitch, or just watch it at 11. Enjoy your desserts. And then I wonder whether you could watch the parade actually from the dessert party location up there. Well, maybe you could actually from afar. There you go. There's some answers for you. But yeah, just take it easy. You know, you're paying that, not just for the desserts and the alcohol, but to get a nice space so you're not stood outside and waiting for ages to watch the fireworks. So just have a good time. If you want to be sending me a question, or you want to be a podcast guest, we're going to catch up with this week's guest in just a moment. Do drop me a message at PodMagical across the socials is where we are. And now let's chat all things Walt Disney World with Nicole. And Nicole is our guest on this episode of the podcast to share some magical memories. And you've not actually been back that long, have you?
Nope. Been back a week.
So you've got the Disney blues still?
Yes, definitely.
Have you got the washing, or is that out of the way?
No. Well, we've had awful weather since we've been back, so we still have not got through it yet. Yes.
Have you unpacked at least?
Yes, yes.
Oh, okay.
Although it does take a while, doesn't it?
Yeah, I like when you're unpacking and you find little things. You go, I forgot we bought that. Oh, yes. I forgot we got that little Christmas decoration. Yep. So it's a little memory that's there for you. Now,
yes.
It was a big family trip that you have just come back from. But tell me about the first time you went to Florida. What can you remember about the first time?
So the first time I went, I think, was about 18 years ago. And it was me and one of my friends. We just kind of went a bit on a whim, because I am a massive Disney fan and have been since I was really little. I love all the movies. Yeah, I just love Disney in general. She wanted to go somewhere that had animals, so we kind of met in the middle, I guess, a bit with Disney. So because she obviously loved Animal Kingdom and everything like that, so that was good. The things I kind of remember is we just kind of went on a whim. We didn't book anything. We just went and just went, like, kind of just went with the flow, basically, which from this time round, obviously, that's not really something you can do so much nowadays.
No, not on a family holiday.
No. Well, I don't know if you can just generally anywhere. Well, I mean, obviously, depending on what kind of holiday you want, I guess. But that's the main thing that I remember, is that we just kind of went, and every day we just kind of got up, went to a park, and just kind of just waited to see what was going to happen, basically. that's kind of what I remember. I don't remember there being any like pre-planning stress or having to think about where we wanted to eat or anything like that. Like, I don't think we struggled to kind of get reservations anywhere or anything like that. So yes, that was the main thing I took from it, to be honest.
So this trip that you've just come back from, the planning, it was all about the planning, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I feel like, well, I mean, I guess this is maybe a bit of advice I'd give to somebody quite early on, is that, I mean, I probably did what everyone else did, which was like join Facebook groups and do loads of research online and things. And I think it just becomes really overwhelming, or can become very overwhelming. So, yeah, I kind of had a bit of a... an idea of kind of like my daughter's sick, so kind of the rides that she would want to do and my husband would want to do, because he's not a massive kind of ride fan, and things like that. So I kind of wanted to kind of make sure that we'd be able to do the things that they wanted to do when we were there. So if anything, I probably did over plan, which then when we were there, a lot of it probably went out the window.
But it's always good to over plan.
Yes.
So where did you stay on this trip? How did you make the decision of when you were going to go and where you were going to stay and how you were going to get there? Because we always talk about, like, you know, doing this restaurant and doing that, right? But it you know, it starts a long time before that when you go, shall we go to Disney World? Where does that take you?
Yeah, so we did book it a year in advance. So we had a long time to kind of plan and things. But we just, we kind of obviously decided that we would want to do it. And we kind of went... so we obviously went in May, so we went the week before the half term and then the week of the half term, because we thought, you know, it might not obviously be as hot then, and things like that, rather than going like in the summer holidays. But we were just kind of looking on YouTube, watching videos of like different resorts and things like that. And my husband really liked Caribbean Beach Resort.
Yeah.
He really liked like the look of the Skyliner. So we... I don't think there was much negotiation, because I was presuming he was going to want to, you know, do more of a budget. So when he said that, I was like, yes, let's book it. So we booked that. We did a split stay. So we did 1 week in Caribbean Beach Resort and 1 week on International Drive.
Yeah.
So yes, and kind of just, yeah, when once we'd obviously had them booked, we then obviously could then start to kind of look at what we were kind of going to do over those 2 weeks and things like that.
So did you spend the 2 weeks going to Disney, or did you spend the International Drive week doing SeaWorld and Universal and shopping malls and stuff,
so
and then
we did Disney? So because my daughter was six, we were really unsure about whether to do Universal, because when I kind of just had a bit of a look at what rides and things like that. So we did actually not go to Universal this time. So yeah, the first week we did all Disney. The second week we went to Kennedy Space Center. We went to SeaWorld. We kind of went to the outlets and kind of things like that. But we did go back to our favorite park on one of the days, and also to one of the water parks as well on our last day there.
Okay, so do you still have the 14-day ticket that comes with the package and things like that? Okay, we all want to know now, what's your favourite park if you went back there?
Well, so it was my daughter's choice of what park she wanted to go to, and that was Animal Kingdom. And we all agreed that that was our favourite park.
Ah, what was it about Animal Kingdom?
So, I mean, for my daughter, her favourite rides were there. So, I say rides. She absolutely loved the safari. She loved the rapids, which I know is, I think, well, from reading reviews, I think the rapids are a bit controversial. Like, a lot of people don't think they're very good and things like that. And she also loved the Zootopia show.
Yes, great.
Yeah, she absolutely loved that. And she just loves animals. And I think she just really liked it because it was just really green. It didn't seem as busy, I think, because obviously all the greenery and things like that. So I think we watched the Lion King show when we were there, which we loved. So that was the park we did visit twice, which I wasn't expecting it to be our favourite park, because obviously there's probably at the moment not as much to do there as there are in the other parks. But yes, it was definitely our favourite.
While we're on that, let's talk about some of your favourite things then. We've talked about your favourite park. Favourite attraction? Would it be something in Animal Kingdom?
So my daughter's was the safari. That was her favourite. We did do that a few times. My favourite, though, I really liked the Remy ride.
In Epcot.
Yeah, I think that potentially all the Frozen ride were my favourites. So yeah, a bit of a mixture.
Did you get lightning lanes? Did you purchase those for some trip?
So that was one of my pre-planning stresses.
Yeah, okay.
Only because when I was... So we did get lightning lanes for Magic Kingdom because just for the sheer amount of rides that are there that are suitable for a six-year-old, we kind of wanted to just make use of the fact that we had obviously early entry because we were staying on resort. Yes, we had early entry, but then we wanted to make use of just try and get in as many rides as we could kind of thing. So we did get them for Magic Kingdom. And we did also, because when I kind of went through Epcot to see what rides were my daughter's favourite rides, she obviously wanted to get Frozen and things like that. So I did get Lightning Lanes for Epcot as well. And for us, actually, it did work really well.
How did you cope with the stress of the day? Because when I get lightning lanes for the day, I'd start getting stressed. I pre-book my three and then I'm like, right, I need to get more now. I want to get my money's worth. Did you find that you were like constantly looking for rides to go on, or were you happy with the three that you booked?
Well, I mean, yeah. So, I mean, to be fair, on the days that we went, I say the waits weren't horrendous. They weren't horrendous, but it meant for us that actually with lightning lanes, it was a walk on. And actually, I would have been quite happy with the three rides that we booked because those were kind of like the rides that we wanted to do and things like that. But actually for both of the parks, we managed to get on a lot of rides. And especially for Epcot, when we actually first got in, so we did early entry and did, because we were coming from Caribbean Beach Resort, we got the Skyliner in. So we went straight to Remy's to obviously get there for early entry.
Yeah.
And then Frozen was actually down, as was Spaceship Earth. So they were both down for the whole morning. And I was kind of thinking, oh my God, we're not going to get these and things like that. But we then actually, after we kind of hit our first couple of rides, we pretty much, did every ride in Epcot within a couple of hours, and then Frozen came up as we were walking kind of back up to the showcase, and Spaceship Earth did as well, and they were like, obviously you could just go, if you miss your slot you can obviously just go back at any point.
Yeah.
So both of those were a walk-on for us as well, so it kind of worked out quite well.
It's always that difficult decision when, because this happened to me last time, I think I mentioned it on the podcast, when I had fast passes for it was Big Thunder Mountain on the day it reopened, and the ride was down, and then they give you the option of that fast pass lightning lane, you can then use it for anything else. But I was thinking, but if I use it for anything else and Big Thunder then comes back, I've used it, so
yes.
Like, do I keep it? Will it come? What if it doesn't come back? It's, I find the whole thing stressful.
So we just thought we'd just wait and just see what happened, and luckily for us, the rides that we'd kind of had, like Spaceship Earth wasn't one of our original ones, but it was one that I kind of pre-booked, as once we'd tapped into kind of the first one, that was one of the ones we could then I then booked, and then that one obviously went down and things like that. And I was kind of at this point, because we did really love Epcot actually, I was just like, oh, you know, if we have to come back a different day and do Frozen, we'll do that. But it just worked out very well for us that they all came back, and the rides with the lightning lanes were all, I think we were just really lucky the days that we went, but all of our lightning lanes were actually a walk-on.
Yeah.
Which I think I'd kind of read mixed reviews before about the fact that you could obviously still be waiting like 10 minutes or so if the ride is like an hour and things like that. But yeah, we didn't experience that at all, which was good.
I want to talk about food, because I remember you sending me a message before you went, because I think I put something on about Sebastian's Bistro. One of the guests had been there, and then you sent me a message going, I'm looking forward to going here in a few weeks.
Yeah.
What did you think?
We loved it. It was so
thank
it
goodness
was so
for
good.
That, because I keep recommending things. You know, when you recommend something, you go, what if somebody goes and they actually don't like it?
Yeah.
But you did. That's good.
Yeah. No, we absolutely loved it. Yeah, we really liked the atmosphere in there was really good. The staff were really friendly. The food was great. They even offered us, because obviously my daughter was with us, they just kind of said straight away that there was, that they obviously could provide a child's option, which we said yes, because we weren't sure what she was going to eat, because she's quite fussy. But actually she preferred what we were eating than to, I think they gave her like chicken tenders and things like that. But yeah, the food was really, really good, which I was really happy about, because I'd kind of said to my husband that I'd heard it was, you know, it got really good reviews and things like that. So yes, we were very happy with it. And if we would have stayed there for longer, we would have definitely have gone back.
Oh, you'd have gone twice if you'd have had time. But yeah, but there's so many other places to eat.
Yeah, if we would have stayed there for 2 weeks, we would have definitely have gone back.
Definitely gone back.
Yeah.
Where else did you eat? And did you have a particular standout favourite?
So Sebastian's probably was our... Yeah, so that probably was our standout favourite. We just thought all of the food was great. We had the quick service dining plan, so we didn't pre-book a lot of table service meals just because obviously we wanted to try lots of different quick services as well.
Yeah.
But we did book, we did Topolino's as character breakfast.
Oh, yeah. Did you enjoy?
It was great. It was so good. I couldn't recommend it highly enough. The character interactions and things like we did that. So we arrived on the Saturday. We went to Animal Kingdom on the Sunday and then we had Topolino's for breakfast on the Monday. So it was the kind of the first proper character interaction that we'd had.
Yeah.
And it was, yeah, it was so good. The staff there were great. The food was so good. And yeah, the characters, the atmosphere, because they obviously walk around and they're singing and stuff like that as well. Yeah, it was great. It was, yeah, I couldn't recommend it highly enough. That's the only character breakfast I've ever done, but I mean, yeah, I gave it a 10 out of 10.
It was a good one. It's a good one to go for.
Yeah.
Was there anything that you were like, you came back from your trip and you looked back and go, I wasn't so keen on that. That was a bit of a disappointment. Or did Disney tick every box for you that you were hoping for?
So, I mean, I think Disney probably did tick every box for us. I'm just trying to think now if there was anything. We did do Roundup Rodeo, which we did like. More for the atmosphere, probably over the food, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because my daughter has just recently got into Toy Story, so that's kind of why we did book that one.
It's a great time to be into Toy Story now,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah. So yeah. So we did. Yeah, we did. And yeah, the staff and everything there were great. But I mean, I wouldn't say I was necessarily disappointed with the food, but I felt like it was probably quantity over quality, maybe.
Oh, okay.
But we still really enjoyed it. It didn't obviously, you know, I think just comparing it to a lot of the meals we had, it was maybe not of the one, not, it's not one that we would go back and do.
And with the free dining plan, were you trying to maximise that to get like real value for money, or did you go, do you know, we'll just eat what we want?
Yeah, we just, so I think before we went, we thought we maybe would. And I had kind of looked a little bit online because obviously a lot of people say about going to Polite Pig and things like that because you obviously get you know, a lot for your money there. We did go to Polite Pig, which we did really like. It was really good there. But yeah, we kind of just the first week that we went, which there was kind of the temperature was higher than I think it normally is. Like everyone there was saying how hot it was and how it was kind of like summer weather already. They were having a bit of a heat wave. So actually, I think we did find we probably ate a lot less than we would have done normally just because of how hot it was. So for us, just kind of just go, other than the few things that we had specifically booked, we kind of just went with the flow. I had kind of a bit of a list of places in each park that people that we knew had been and recommended for quick services and things like that. But yeah, we kind of just went, kind of just decided on the day really what we were kind of going to do.
But you did your split stay, so you had a week on International Drive. How did you get around? Did you hire a car? Did you rely on public transport?
Yeah, so we didn't hire a car. We'll just see what we do when we get there and decide, because we'd heard it was quite easy to hire cars and things like that. So, but yeah, we didn't end up hiring a car. We used the Lyft app quite a lot because they were just really cheap to get around. We had like a trolley bus pass for International Drive, so we used that to get to SeaWorld, to get to the outlets, and things like that. And then you know, we did a couple of other things on International Drive, like Crazy Golf and, you know, those kind of things as well. But when we went to Kennedy Space Center, we looked at a few different options about whether we were going to do, obviously, kind of like a packet, you know, a ticket and transport option and things like that. But just using Lyft actually worked well for us. It was like an hour there, I think an hour back. We did pre-book the Lyft going just because we obviously wanted to arrive there for when it opened. But coming back, we just booked it when we were ready to leave.
Yeah.
And I think with having like a six-year-old and stuff, it was quite good for us. Just we didn't really know what she was going to be like when we were there. So we were just like, just being able to have the option just to kind of leave when we wanted to leave and things like that worked well for us, I think. So, yeah.
I'm guessing with the price of hiring a car, by the time you've hired the car and paid for petrol and tolls and the stress of driving, if you're only going to a few places, just get a Lyft or an Uber.
Yeah. And I mean, it definitely wasn't the most expensive thing that we were paying for out of everything. We found the Lyft price. We did have the Uber app and we had the Lyft app, and every time we were getting one, we'd compare the two. But Lyft just seemed so much cheaper. And I think every day as well, we seemed to be getting offers on the app and things like that. So, I would say to people, if people obviously don't want to drive when they're over there, I mean, in Disney, we definitely didn't have to anyway, because the transport and everything is great there. But even when you're on international drive, you don't need to be hiring a car, I don't think.
Yeah. Did you use the little trolley that goes up and down as well?
Is it the iRide,
is it called?
Yeah, and that was really... I don't know whether we just timed it right, but we were never... outside the hotel we were staying, there was like a stop right there. And we never had to wait more than 5 minutes for one to come past. They have on the signs, they've got a QR code that you can scan, which will show you whereabouts the buses are on International Drive. And I don't know if we just timed it well, but there was always one, kind of on its way, which was good.
Oh, excellent. So what is your most cherished memory from your Disney visits?
So I think it would be this time. And my daughter did Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique. She's obsessed with her favorite Disney princess is Jasmine, so I'd had to do research before to make sure that was an option when we were going. That was quite stressful for me to book, because obviously it comes up as the is it Magical Extras, so you have to have a VPN and all of that if you want to obviously be able to book it when they become available and things. And when we'd booked it, our 60 days out was when the clocks had changed in America but not here, so the time was an hour earlier. So instead of 5 a.m it was 4 a.m that I had to be online to book it. Then there was actually happened that there was actually a glitch with the website.
Disney tech,
because I thought it was my doing and that I hadn't connected it up properly, even though I tested and things like that. It just wasn't showing the time, so I was having a bit of a meltdown at 5 a.m in the morning when I still had been, I'd been online and not managed to book anything. But then I then went back online, I think it was 6 or 6:30 in the morning or something like that, and actually all of a sudden it just started to work. So I'd obviously got up early and I didn't need to, but we did manage to book it. There was a lot of availability, which was good, because I think obviously everyone was having issues with the website. We got the day and the time that we wanted, and watching my daughter just do it. I mean, obviously, you know, there are lots of different options. We could have taken our own outfit for her and things like that, but she'd been given some money before we went, so we were like, well, no, she wants that specific outfit, so we'll pay for it when we're there and stuff. But the whole experience were great, and the staff working in there, I mean, they obviously have to talk to children from kind of 3 years upwards, and you know, we could have quite easily have left and she would have been quite happy. The girl that was her fairy godmother in training was just amazing. They were so good with the kids and things, and my daughter absolutely loved it.
How long is the experience?
So it's kind of split a bit into two parts. So you've kind of got the bit when you first go in and they kind of choose their outfit and kind of what they want to have, and they have that whole side of it. And then you go into the castle to then have the makeover part. So I think the whole thing for us was maybe about an hour and I think it was maybe about an hour and 15 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But it was, it was so good. My daughter was just, in awe of everything that was going on, basically. So, to watch her go through that was just so nice.
I always like seeing the girls, and boys can do it as well, just going around the park when they've had their makeover, but then they've got trainers on. And especially if it's been raining and they've got these really beautiful dresses and they're really dirty and wet at the bottom and they've got trainers on or Crocs. the perfect princess touch.
Yes, I know. That was my daughter. She was walking around with that. So that's what she wanted to wear, because she obviously wanted to go on rides after, because I gave her the option.
That's the thing, isn't it?
Yes, no, exactly. And then she also was then, because it was very hot when we were there, she then wanted to put her t-shirt back on. So she just had the Jasmine trousers, her trainers, and then just her angel t-shirt.
Do you know what? If Cinderella had had trainers on with a good, with good laces on, she wouldn't have lost a shoe.
Yes.
There's a lesson in that.
Yes.
So, if I was to give you your perfect day at Walt Disney World, how would you spend it?
So we would definitely go back to Caribbean Beach Resort. 100%. That's where I would go. We did do a bit of resort hopping, but I think for us and what we wanted from the holiday, we absolutely loved that resort. So I would go back. Yeah, I had absolutely no complaints about it at all. So we'd probably, obviously stay there. And I think we would minivan over to Animal Kingdom for the morning and then do the safari, the rapids, the Zootopia show, maybe the Lion King show, eat at Satuli Canteen because that was great when we ate there. Then potentially then go back to our resort just so that we can use the Skyliner to go back to Epcot.
It's an attraction in itself, isn't it?
Yeah, the and do you know what? So many of the kids and stuff were, when we were kind of stood in the queue, we didn't have to wait a long time for any of them, like maximum 5 minutes, but we're like looking to see what characters they were going to get on the... Yeah, on the different cars and stuff like that. So that was so, it was so lovely. So we would do that and then go to Epcot. And then, you know, if we could go on any rides, we would then obviously go on Frozen, Remy. We really enjoyed the Turtle Talk with Crush.
I've never done it.
I don't know why I didn't have any high expectations. I think we just wanted to go in somewhere that was air conditioned when we were there. But it was so funny. And like the interactions with the kids in between like Crush the Turtle and stuff, it was just so well done. I was really surprised.
Okay, maybe next time I'll do it.
Yeah, I would recommend it. It was so good. We'd kind of just get, do as many rides as we could do in Epcot. And then we would then have dinner, go back to our resort and have dinner at Sebastian's. And then we didn't make any of the fireworks in the parks because my daughter was just hanging. She was so tired. But we were lucky that at Caribbean Beach Resort, you can see the Epcot fireworks from the resort and very clearly too. So we sat on a bench. A lot of people were sat on at Caribbean Beach. They've got like the beaches as well that go around like the lake. A lot of people just sit on the beaches or sit on the benches and watch the fireworks.
Cool.
Yeah, so we, whilst we didn't make the fireworks in the parks, we two nights did sit on a bench outside kind of the bar that they've got there. They've got the pool bar. And watched the fireworks at 9 o'clock.
And then straight to bed?
And then she went straight to bed, yeah.
No worried about getting on the Skyliner and how busy that's going to be. Yeah,
and the fireworks, whilst obviously we couldn't hear the music or the projections and things like that, the fireworks were great to watch. Yeah. So it was really, it's like for people, you know, who maybe can't obviously make it and things like that. That was one of the things in my over-planning. We obviously did plan to go to, we wanted to see kind of like the Starlight Parade and things like that. We didn't get to do any of that just because...
That's quite late, isn't it?
I think the Happily Ever After fireworks are now at 10 o'clock. So.
Yeah, that is very late. So you've got 9 o'clock for the parade, 10 o'clock for the fireworks, and then 11 o'clock for the second parade. So
yes, exactly. And we only just managed to get her to stay up for the fireworks in our resort.
You will watch them at least once.
Yes, yeah. And do you know what? She was really happy because she was a bit upset that she couldn't. You know, that she was obviously, she understood that she obviously, you know, wasn't able to go back to the parts of the fireworks. So she was really happy that she did get to see them. So, yes.
So have you got any more plans on going back? Are you thinking about maybe in a few years?
I think we will wait a few. So I would, we do want to go back. We would quite like to be able to go back and do Disney and Universal, but we'll probably wait a few years until she's a bit older, really, because if we went back, we'd want to be in a position where we could watch the fireworks and things like that. I would quite like to go to somewhere that's quite high on my list. I've been before to Asia, but I've not been, trying to push for a family holiday to like Hong Kong and somewhere else. So if we did that, I'd quite like to go to Disney either in Hong Kong or Japan.
Okay, or both.
Yes, or both.
Hong Kong is brilliant. Yeah.
At the moment it's just an idea, but yes, I would really like to, we definitely do want to go to Asia, so that could potentially be the next one.
Okay. Meanwhile, you've still got some washing to do, so I'm going to let you get back to that, Nicole.
Thank you so much.
The magic is over. Have a magical day.
Yeah, and you. Thank you.
Thank you again to Nicole. Want to come on the podcast for a chat? Maybe you've downloaded this podcast and you're listening in the airport right now, heading off. Let's get you on when you get back. Drop me a message at PodMagical and then we can sort out a time to get chatting all things Disney World. If you are going, we're only a week away from the Halloween party. Can you believe it? Next Friday, the 7th of August, is the first Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween party of the year at Magic Kingdom. That does mean, of course, that you're not going to get Happily Ever After every night, which means when it is on, it's going to get busy. There's a foodie guide to the desserts and snacks. There's quite a few, actually. There's quite a few new ones coming to the Halloween party this year. That's over on the socials. Cool Kids Summer continues through till the 8th of September. Also in September is the start of Orlando Magical Dining in a couple of weeks' time. 14th of August, right to the end of September. Now, these are certain restaurants around Disney Springs, in fact, all around Orlando, and they have set menus. So it's like three courses for either $40 or $60, some of them. It doesn't seem to be as big as it has been previous years, because you used to get quite a lot of restaurants at Disney Springs who took part. There's still a few. I think Haleo and Wolfgang Puck at Disney Springs are involved in this. I think a few of the restaurants at Swan and Dolphin are involved as well. But do check out Orlando Magical Dining. You might get a few nice meals out around Orlando and save yourself a few quid. Talking about food, Epcot Food and Wine Festival is still a month away. 28th of August, that starts. So we've got what we call Diet Epcot at the minute. So if you are going, it's a nice chance just to explore Epcot and the regular snacks that they've got. Pound to dollars, about 1.33 at the minute. Temperatures in Orlando between 23 and 34. When I say between 23 and 34, it means the temperatures will get no lower than 23. That means like in the middle of the night, it's still 23 degrees. 34 is the high during the day. And thunderstorms in the afternoon. Talking about lightning. Average Lightning Lane prices at the minute. We haven't checked these out for a while. I looked at a random day at Magic Kingdom. You're talking about $32 for the day one that gets you onto the three attractions. The individual ones, so like Seven Dwarfs Mine Train's around $13. Guardians of the Galaxy's around $18. They do vary. I think the cheapest Lightning Lane you can get is the Animal Kingdom 3-ride one. I think that's around $17. But you are limited with your choice of which three you're going for first on that. Finally, let's end the podcast with a top tip. This, actually, I meant to do on the last podcast on my 4th of July trip report. And then I totally forgot. I had so much to say. I totally forgot about this. If you're staying at a Skyliner resort after the fireworks at Epcot, it gets really busy. You might have gone past it yourself. You might have seen the queue stretching around towards the Yacht and Beach Club. If you don't fancy queuing in that and you've got a bit of time, you don't mind, why not walk over to Hollywood Studios? This is what I did on the actual 4th of July. So it was busier than usual. And the queue for the Skyliner was massive. And it does stay open until that queue goes down. But I thought, well, this was like 9:30 at night. And I know that Fantasmic had finished around 9:30 at Hollywood Studios. And I thought, it's going to take me about 20, 30 minutes to walk over to Hollywood Studios. The crowds after Fantasmic are a bit more dispersed than after the crowds at the fireworks at Epcot. Let's just see what the Skyliner is like. If I walk from Epcot over to Hollywood Studios and just get the Skyliner back from there. I did that and there was nobody waiting. I think there was only about 10 minutes before the Skyliner closed. I think it closed about 10. But check the times when the Skyliner closes. If you think that the queue at Epcot is way too long and you need your Skyliner to get back to your resort, have a walk over to Hollywood Studios and then just get it back from there. Get your extra steps in as if you need them. That's it for this podcast. Back in 2 weeks' time. 2 weeks, by the way, is D23 in California, the big Disney fan event. So we're expecting a lot of news to come out that weekend, which is why there isn't really any news over the last few weeks. There's not a lot to tell you news-wise. But D23, when next podcast is out, there should be quite a bit. Hit that subscribe button. Follow us on the socials at PodMagical. If you can give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, that's brilliant as well. And until next time, please stand clear of the doors.